What I would like to do is take this time on Saturday nights to have a kind of a simple fellowship with you, and to present the word to you in a way that will just kind of really define and give a lot of substance to what our title is, which is Experiencing Christ as Life.
Amen.
Okay, and so this is my burden. After a lot of consideration, I felt like we just need to really not try to get too, too elaborate, not to get too much. We always need the foundational matters.
That's right.
And this is important to me today, since the first day that I knew the Lord, which was before Linda did, you know. And this is a very, very critical thing, to experience Christ as life. It does have a goal of producing the body of Christ as His expression. But you can't really get into, and you can't really know and even touch the body of Christ unless we experience Christ. And this is not experiencing Him as a kind of a person historically, academically, even through Bible knowledge. But we have to know Him through the Bible as the living and abiding Word of God. Then we have a chance through this living Word to know Christ and experience Him inwardly as our life. Not our human life, not to improve us, not to make us different in a human way, but to actually add the element of God Himself to our being day after day after day, so that over a period of time we are renewed and transferred actually and substantially from the old creation that we are by nature into the new creation that we also are by the virtue of experiencing Christ as our life. And He will do this. He will replace everything of the old creation with the new creation. And He will cause this material, which belonged in one realm, to be transferred into another realm. And that's what we want to fellowship. How do we experience Christ so that we are still, like Linda testified, that she's still bubbling? Well, this bubbling is the same Christ, the same source. It's very, very real. This is the only thing that we can say that we know of that exists in the universe that is real, that has eternal value, that has eternal reality to it. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you do not have life. You abide in death. You abide in darkness. You abide in the common human realm of whatever slot you might fit in. But you do not have the reality that it has eternal weight and value. Only Christ. So we have to have Christ, but we have to be clear. This is not an outward Christ. This is an experiential Christ. And I want to spend, not just this semester, I'm pretty sure this will be a whole year-long thing, just to talk about how to experience Christ. I just want to go through some points and other points and start from the beginning, and maybe by the end of next May, we'll have covered a bunch of points about how to experience Christ as life. How do I do that? How do I have daily experiences of Jesus Christ? Not theoretically, you see, but as a life element, a life-giving spirit. Okay? I put on here at the top, under the title Philippians 3:10a, because to me this epitomizes what we really are doing here. And this verse is such a critical verse in all of the New Testament, because this is Paul's expression of what he desires. And his expression, this is as great as it can be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all there is, and all we will ever need.
Amen.
Is all wrapped up just in a little phrase here in Philippians 3:10. Okay?
Right.
And Paul said, to know him.
Amen.
To know him. This is the experience. To know him is not to know teachings about him.
Right.
You see? But to know him.
Amen.
Through any and every kind of word, teaching, phrase, you name it, that is in the Holy Word, which we refer to as the New Testament ministry in the Bible. Right? Now, Paul was altogether consumed with this one thing. I need to know this person. This is a God-man. Jesus Christ. Jesus being the... referring to the human element more so, and Christ referring to the divine element more so. Right? Put them together, you have Jesus Christ, you have the divine God-man. He was God, but he became man, right? We are man, but we take on the element of God. So he's a God-man, and he's going to have many people who are men and have God. So he's the firstborn son, and we become the many sons. This is, of course, in Romans 8:30, right? The firstborn among many brethren. Well, we need to know him. And the way to know him is to know him as the inward person that was testified, like Linda shared. This is the, she says the bubbly Christ. Well, the bubbly is the resurrection power. You see, that's the bubbly. Okay? That little bubbly stuff is what gives you the strength, the sustenance, the ability, the dynamics inside of your being to overcome things of this world, of this age, temptations, faults, weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, sins, all kinds of temptations you get to overcome here, because you are strengthened by a power that the Bible refers to as the resurrection power. Christ was resurrected on the third day, and he is the embodiment of resurrection life. He said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. So this is what he is. To know Christ is to know the resurrection power. We need this kind of power, you see. If you want to describe this power, I don't think anybody can write even a dissertation to adequately describe it. It's not really describable, but it's so intuitive. It's so real. It's so it has so much reality to it and sustenance that it is so genuine. We have to know Christ like this. This is not a flash. This is not a Pentecostal light show. Okay. We're talking about genuine experience of Christ. It may be high one day. It may not be so high the next day. Don't even think that Christ just has a kind of a one groove that he can be in your experience. He has a lot of ways to be in and to creep in and to get into your experience. And your experience should also enlighten you and be kind of a conduit so that you can be led to Christ. It should be kind of like a child conductor leading you to Christ, you see. So all things work together for good to those who love God. Why? Because they produce something. They produce people who will experience Christ and result in the building up of his unique and divine body on this earth. Okay? We need to do this. Now, I want to talk about many things, but we have to start at the first, and we'll work our way through a lot of things. I just start writing points down, and without getting much into it, it's already, I know it'll take a year, and I'm not sure just how we're going to squeeze all of it in. I mean, I'm just sitting here tonight, and another major thing that I didn't even write down, and I'm not on the first page and just writing these points down. We just need so many things for us to experience Christ. I'll just show you through a few verses, his side.
Right.
And what we want to get into is our side. And we have to have these two sides, meeting each other. He in what he is and what he has and what he's done and what he's accomplished conveyed to us. And we opening our being to experience him and finding a daily walk in which we have genuine experiences and abiding in the reality of Christ day by day, day by day. Okay. This is what it's all about. This is the name of the game, okay? This is it. This is good for your young life. It's good for your later life. It's good for your middle-aged life. It's good for your old-age life. It's good for it's especially good for when you die life. And it's going to be glory, eventually. So Christ is life. And we get to follow into everything because as we see, we get to have him incorporated into our being. But first, number one, we need to see his side a little bit. And we could also do a long, long, long thing on what all Christ is. But I just want to show you a little bit just how much he is and how much he is the focus of our experience. He's our target. God has given Christ to us. He is the gift of God. He's the unspeakable gift of God to us. There is not another gift. Okay? It's Christ. Don't even say it's Christ plus even one thing. It's not. It's Christ. Everything, every word of his holy word, the Bible, is just a portrait of the all-inclusiveness of Christ to produce the body, which is also Christ in expression, as well as content. Okay? First of all, I just wanted to say a word about Christ being the mystery of God. Okay? And this is taken from Colossians 2:2, and here is where it says, Paul says, writing this epistle, that their hearts may be comforted, that being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. See, Paul was voicing the desire of God, that we have full assurance of understanding. You see, I think everybody hates to say, well, I have full assurance of understanding. But we're supposed to have full assurance of understanding. Okay? We're supposed to be this way. We should not be shaken in mind. You know, this phrase occurs in the Bible. Paul was burned by... for those in Thessalonica, they would not be soon shaken in mind.
That's right.
But why? Because in their situation, there could be a degree of people after the visit by Paul to that city and the preaching of the gospel and the establishment of the church, which is his body, that some would not have the full assurance of understanding, and therefore when other kind of thoughts, teachings, persecutions, negative input comes from other things, lies, slanders. Paul knew the whole story. And he was burdened that they have a full assurance of understanding.
Right.
And so this is why we need to, you know, before we get real clear about, you know, the seven trumpets in Revelation and all these, you know, and all the frogs and lice and air, you know, the whole, that's not what we're talking about. That's not.
Right.
That's not where the value is.
No.
You see. Okay.
Right.
The value is having a full assurance of understanding of the experience of Christ and how we can have this and how we can develop and be renewed and transformed into His image to become something heavenly. Our humanity would take on a heavenly element, and we would be mingled just as God, the Son, was mingled with humanity by His birth through a human person. He became mingled with humanity, and His humanity was so unique and so wonderful and so perfect and without sin. And now He's gone through all this process, and we'll see as we go step by step. We'll see all this process is designed by God to be conveyed into our being so we can have experience. You see, when we do this, we have full assurance of understanding. You know, I remember when I was your age, I think I had a lot of assurance because I was always, every day of my life, I was just in fellowship with other Christians. I just had a way, and this is how I ended up in the church life, is because I was knocking on every door, you know, does anybody want to have fellowship, you know, and get into the Word and things like that, read books, whatever, pray together. But still, there were things on the campus I was at anyway that people would like to, you know, don't do this, don't watch out for this, don't, you know, these people are off, these people are wrong, they say something about Christ, but it's not really good and so forth. And when I finally got to the church, I just unloaded on all the brothers. I said, okay, people say this, and they say this, and they say this, and they say this. What's the deal here? Convince me. I'm open, convince
right.
me. You know, in my dorm room, I'm sitting there, you know, like I'm still 19 years old, you know, act like I really know something. But, you know, to be open is a big thing.
Sure.
And to seek, you cannot be a seeking after the Lord and fail to run into Him. I mean, it will not happen that way. If you want Him, you will find Him.
Amen.
That is the teaching of the Word.
Absolutely.
To have this kind of assurance, we want every brother and sister to have it. So you don't have the experience of Ephesians 4 being tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching. This is people teaching. This is the right way. This is the wrong way. Don't do this. No. We need to come back and know for ourselves experientially the Word of God so that we can have the assurance. Now, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care who you are. I don't care what degree you have. I don't care how long you've been anything. I don't care if you're the president of the world. Okay? I don't care. I don't care about anything. You know, the Bible has been delivered to the saints once for all.
That's right.
It has never changed. It's still there. It is our way. It is our. It is the enlightenment given to us by God Himself to reveal His Son and the purpose of His heart. And that will never change. And guess what? I know what that is.
Right.
I know what that is. I know what it is from the first book to the last book of the Bible, from the first chapter, the first verse to the last verse. I know what that is. You cannot pull out stuff and make me sweat. You can't do it. You can't make me nervous about the truth. It's not, if you want to have a forum, if you want to have a seminar, if you want to be on national television and so forth, I promise you will lose. You will lose. Okay? I know this. I know this because we have been so blessed to see the simplicity of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we have come out of the fog. And that was where I was when I was a 19-year-old living in Martin Hall at Baylor University, you know, trying to get an education a little bit, trying to play baseball a little more than that. But really, more than anything, I just was trying to find more of Christ.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my priorities. That's why my grade point average in high school was nearly a 4.0, not too far from it. But, you know, when I got to college, it just, you know, a B was just excellent, I thought. Because I read so many books in the Bible Buildings library that there were no classes for, and there was nothing, you know, if I got credit for all that stuff I read, you know, I would have had at least a master's or a PhD, but I had no subject. I wanted to see what did these men experience, and I read biographies. So many biographies, and I read them and I pass them along. So I don't have but maybe a fourth of what I originally had, but I still have some good ones. I read them not once. I just read. These men experienced Christ.
Yeah.
Paul, the apostle, experienced Christ. And now, this is his ministry to us, so that we can have this experience and the full assurance of understanding into the mystery of God. And that mystery is Christ. You see, this is what this verse says. You know, if it's a mystery, if Christ is a mystery, and he must be. We have to admit this now. We have to be quite frank. Because in America, this is the United States of America, and it's not so much as it used to be in its kind of religious culture. Mm-hmm. But back in the days, you know, a little bit before, you know, you were born and started to come up and things got quite a bit diversified. I mean, the Christian religion in this country was so paramount of every kind. It was like going into an ice cream store with a massive numbers of flavors. And you say, I would like chocolate. I would like pineapple. I would like peppermint ice cream. You just had your selection. You had the Baptist, and you had the Methodist, and you had the Church of Christ, and you had the Catholic Church, and you had... You know, listen, I even bought one time a little book. Just it said a list of the United States denominational churches, and I just read. I didn't read the book. I read the table of contents. I just wanted to see the names, page after page after page, with some of the funniest names you ever read. You know, like Twice Born in the Spirit Church of God. I said, what? You can't be, you know, I was like Nicodemus. Are you talking about your human birth and then the divine birth? Okay, then twice born is okay. But if you're talking about two divine births, then you really, you know, there's some heresy here. And you're short of the full assurance of understanding. But I found some funny names. The names gave it away. And, of course, I knew people and visited and so forth. I checked these places out. Don't do it, but talk to some people who checked them out. Okay, I know what the Catholic Church is. Okay, I checked it out. I even know what the Jewish things are. I checked it out. It's not even Christ. It's Christless. But I just, you know, I had some friends and I just checked it out. The whole thing. One of my best friends was a Methodist. He became a Methodist minister. I checked it out. I said, look at this. You can't reconcile this to what your denomination believes. This is the word. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
At least he was honest. At least he was honest, and he in his thing was, you know, maybe we can change things. You know, what a dreamer that he could change things that were not only unchangeable, but were, I mean, just there traditionally and rooted in long, I mean, you know, centuries in some cases of tradition. But they were on the decline away from the pure Word of God. That what I mean is, at one time they were in much better shape as far as squaring themselves with the Word of God than they are today. Okay, so I checked all these things out. And I got saved in the Baptist church. Actually, I did, and so you can say I checked that out very thoroughly. I didn't have to check it out. I was just in the midst of it. And the biggest thing I can say is they are some really nice, born again, believing people. Yeah. But they don't have the concept that Christ is to be experienced in such a vast way for your whole life, to produce a special entity, an organic thing called the body. You see? And so when the brothers came to share with me the truth, I did have a lot of stuff in my head. And, you know, I let them know what was there. I mean, to give them credit, they were very, yeah, very patient. And finally, it was like, I don't really need to get into all this, but, you know, I just wanted to see how they could handle all these things. And they were the only ones I'd ever met, ever, and had any real touch with, that from the Bible could show me the correct and the enlightened path to experience Christ. That sold me. So I just resigned, went back, quit, so forth. And in those days, that to do something radical like that is a pretty big deal. You can come into some pretty strong confrontations, and two of us, we did have some pretty strong confrontations. Terrible things. They lied. The people just said lies. Things I never heard of. And they're talking about me. You do this, and you're this way, and you're that way. Yeah. That's a lie. Right. That's a lie. Where do you get this? Do you know firsthand? Do you have anything firsthand?
Right.
Is this just what you were told, or have you really checked it out? You see? At least I did the honorable thing and checked it out. And I was convinced. I mean, it wasn't a close call. You see, but no, just on the word passed down from who knows where, they come and they just say, you know, this is this thing, no, not be, this is not, stay back where you are. We, you know, let me tell you something, young people.
Yeah.
If somebody comes to you like this,
exactly,
just like this, and they want to straighten you out, warn you,
yeah.
Put fear into you by words. It's a kind of a scare tactic thing.
Exactly.
Because they're losing the people they want to gain. They're losing.
Right.
And honestly, we have no bones to pick with anybody. There are all kind of clubs on this campus. We have no problem with that. We hope for the salvation of many students that we would never meet. This campus is too big for us alone. So at least let people get saved. At least let them have eternal security. At least. But don't let them come and say, oh, this is this way, and this is not the Bible, and this is just some man's teaching, and this is so. Name one thing. Show us one thing where we don't base it on the Word of God. Then I would ask you the big question. Do you base everything
exactly
on the Word of God only?
You base everything.
And if it's not there, then you cease and desist from your soulish and fleshly practice, because it's not the pure Word of God. Okay. I would do this. I would. Why not? Actually, before I did that, if somebody came up to me, if I were you, Mitchell, and somebody came up to me, and you probably have, in some way or another, you've probably done something like this. But this is what I would do. Thinking, Dion, if they came up to me, if I were you, still a student and so forth, and they came up and said, look, and maybe you've just been around here a month or so, and you don't know so much, but you're really struck with the reality of Christ. And at least you know that. You have the assurance of that. And you have touched Him. Now, for just a short amount of time, is this not a big deal? Do you remember when this happened? You're freshman year, right?
It's my sophomore.
Sophomore year. Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I forgot what color your hair was then, I think.
but it was plenty of it.
A lot of hair, and it was not that color there. It was a loud color. Okay, an off color. In fact. Well, see, Dion's not volunteering, so I'm not going to guess here. But anyway, it was eye-catching. But he experienced Christ. This is good. This is good enough for just a short time. Isn't this wonderful?
Absolutely.
This is, wow. This is a big thing. You know, right away, I would tell, okay. They start to say blah, blah, blah to you to what? To take you away from the fresh, sweet experience of Christ, just this much. I would say stop. First stop right now. Don't say another word. Okay, just stop. Before you take me away from having the chance to continue and develop my experience of Christ, you know, to my heart's content, tell me what you have to offer me. Tell me what you have in your group or whoever you represent. Tell me what you have to offer. What is your thing? What do you focus in, and what are you all about? Let me hear your side. Convince me about you. See, we don't mind that. We have no trouble saying it. If you will just be open and honest, just come and hang out and make your own judgment. You see? In a sense, I did that. But I was so ready to fall into the truth.
Really?
That, I mean, I went quick. But I don't think they can say, well, you know, we have this all-inclusive ministry about the all-inclusive Christ that you can experience daily, that builds up the body of Christ, and it transforms your being, and it cracks open the Word of God from start to finish, and you have everything you need, all the fellowship you need. You learn to know your spirit. You learn to pray. You learn to know the Word. You learn to walk and be in spirit. You learn to love the Lord. You learn to love the brothers and sisters. You have to learn the people. Love the people of God. You just have all of these riches of Christ. Do you have that? Make them convince you they have something, and not just we have meetings and we get into the Bible and we discuss Christ and so forth. Yeah, I'm not sure. Sure. You can be an Islam and do that. Okay. Don't you think all the Catholics are discussing Christ?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How many of them are experiencing Christ? It's a big difference, isn't it? Okay. As you can tell tonight, this is kind of, I'm just talking rather than taking care of the outline. I tend to do this because it's like the verses in Job. I have to speak to refresh my spirit. I'm not responsible for all this. I have to speak what is my burden, my heart, my feeling, and even what I feel is the anointing. I have to do this. I don't care about the message. I care about Christ.
Amen.
I just care that you know Christ and that we have time to get into all the riches of Christ and that you see the riches of Christ and that you are impressed and this is not just a little teaching lecture seminar time, but this is a dispensing for you so that you would be impressed. Inwardly, we have the mystery of God. If Christ is not a mystery, okay, fine. Everybody can know him in some kind of way. You're free to find out all about Christ in the way you prefer, because there's no mystery to it. But if there's a mystery here, then we need a revelation that is unique about Christ himself. Now, this is the acid test. Do we have enlightenment from God, you see, about Christ himself?
Right.
If so,
right,
we win. And we have full assurance.
That's right.
And the mystery is revealed. God wants revelation. The veil taken away. And you can see the reality of Christ and who he is and what he is. Christ is the great I am. In this verse, or two verses, John 8. And the Lord is talking about these people. And they do not believe in him. And they are giving him a rough time. You could say they are indeed persecuting him. Okay, so he said to them, "You are from below." He kind of, you know, let's just say it like it really is. This is a real situation here. You are from below. I am from above. Don't you think that makes a little difference in what's happening in that little setting? What a rebuke! They're all this yeah. He said, "Okay. But you can talk all you want to, but you're from here, and I'm from there." There's such a difference. Okay? Your words are just words. Then he says, in verse 24, skipping there, he says, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins." That's where your religion, where your talk, where your tradition, all your things will get you. Just death in sin. Right? Then he says, for unless you believe that I am the Messiah, you will die in your sins. Did you get that? What does your Bible say there? The printout. Unless you believe that I am what?
Comma.
He just says, unless you believe that I am.
That's right.
Strangest statement, one of the strangest statements I ever read in the Bible. Unless you believe I am. Unless you believe I am, it needs a direct object. What? We need a noun here. What are you? He just says, "I am." He is the great I am.
Yes.
You know, when Moses was so shaken by his encounter with Jehovah, and he just says, "They will never believe me. Lord, what do I do? They will never believe my word, and I don't even know your name." And what shall I tell them that they will believe? And you know what he told them? He said, tell them. What? Do you remember?
I am that I am.
I am that I am.
That's right.
I am that I am sent you.
That's right.
This is based on the nature of God himself.
Amen.
See, this is the continuation in John after incarnation. I am. I am. He's the great I am. You know, I hope all the saints know him as the mystery that is no longer a mystery. And then they would know him as the great I am. The great I am. He's so much. I am what? This is a mystery. You see? I am blank. There is a blank here. Because we need to fill in our experience, all the riches of Christ. I am God. I am reality. I am life. I am what? Strength. I am power. I am what? Love. I am light. I am patience. I am what? Name it. What do you need? Just consider the condition of man, and whatever man needs at any time, that's what Christ is.
Amen.
He is, because he is the I am in the present tense. I am blank. You just need him to be what whatsoever humanity needs. He's that. See? Wonderful, wonderful.
Amen.
Okay. Then, that's substantiated very easily in Ephesians 3:8. Paul says, to me, less than the least of all saints, and, you know, it's,
yeah.
Anyway, it's a great thing for him to be that low. But he says, was this grace given? The grace was given to him to announce to the Gentiles. That's us. What is he going to announce?
Right.
Prophecies, doctrines, manifestos, creeds. What? Catechisms, ways, means, ordinances. No. No, no. He's going to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
You see. To announce this wonderful thing. And it says, as the gospel. This means you get to start off receiving Christ as the gospel. He is your salvation. And he is everything you experience for the rest of your life. And that is also an aspect of the gospel. You need to see the gospel includes the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's everything. That's why we say it's a full salvation and it's a full gospel. We don't mean you have a one-time experience of regeneration, then you're just in not good shape at all, and later you have a stronger experience of the Spirit. And that's the full gospel. This is the concept that is still in America. See, that makes two experiences you had. Well, we would like to have 102, 1,002, 1,000,002 experiences of Christ as the reality of this, that, whatever. As long as the essence of Christ, it's okay. You're there. That's God's gift. That's what we need. That's all we need. And he will be everything, because why? He's all-inclusive. How many know Christ is all-inclusive? Or do they just think Christ is a kind of a ticket for salvation, and they have to find ways to work on their human life to improve themselves, right? To make them better humans, better people, better husbands, better wives, better citizens, better whatever, better church people. Do what? Do this, do that. So let's have a gathering, and let's just get into and talk about what? You name it. You see? So don't you think the world is full of this?
Yes.
Just full of how, you know, let's talk about how to be a husband. Mike, we just have to get into this. How do we be a husband? We need Christ. We need Christ, don't we?
Amen.
If we don't have Christ,
oh my Lord.
We don't have a prayer. We don't deserve a wife if we don't have Christ. You know. And sisters, don't think you can be a wife, and it's just no problem. I'll just get married and be a wife. Getting married has a way of putting you into proper perspective. You enlightenment will come to you. See, marriage is a real nice design by God for your enjoyment, with a little PS for your exposure. So you need a good situation designed by God, ordained by God. Do you really think somebody is that is going to be a match for you? It's just going to be decades of no friction, no conflict, no anything? Oh, wow. You're going to need it, you know, as years go by, you're going to need the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
As the gospel.
Praise the Lord.
To be a brother, to be a husband, to be a wife, to be a human, to be a, to be, you know, just to know, just to be proper everything. It's not a matter of teaching. It's not a matter of we lay things on people. You need Christ. You need Christ. You need so much Christ within. And we'll get to the aspects. But until you see that the fundamental issue is the formation of Christ inside of you, you see, then the rest doesn't really apply. It applies if you see this. Then you can take the rest according to this vision. See? Otherwise, why? Why try to be a great Christian? You know, no one in this room except my wife knows the degree I went to before I came to the church life to be whatever was required by me. You know, there was a period of a couple of years, at least a year and a half. And the burden, the weight, I have to bear the burden to get the whole baseball team saved and so forth. And most of them did get saved. But the weight of that was just, just to have the testimony and to say, you know, I am openly a Christian. I'm of Christ. It's His mercy, and He chose me, and He loved me so that I could, you know, belong to Him and love Him. It's His doing, but the fact is, I belong to Him, and I am a Christian, whether I like it or you like it. It doesn't matter to anybody. But what it matters what God says, okay, then we have to be like this and be so much for these the focus of Christ being all inclusive, everything we need. Do you think? Do you think you really need something that's not Christ? You just have to have something other than Christ. Then he would not be all inclusive, would he? We would have to tell you, you know, we really encourage people to have Christ plus. Let me see. And we, you know, even if we don't say it, if we just imply that we really, you know, we hope this for you, or we want this for you, we wish you could, you know, do this or that, or have this or that, or, you know, be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Whatever. This offends God. This is not God's gift to us. There's only one thing that we can be absolutely sure of. That is, we have an all-inclusive person. Okay, you must see this. And I must see this. And we have to see it until we become so persuaded by him that every day is a day of Christ to us. It's just a day of Christ. Okay. Don't you think Paul was like this? He said, I pursue. And this is the chapter where he says to know him, to gain him. You see, to be found in him. This is his pursuit. To fulfill the high calling, the upward calling of God. That was his goal. That's my goal. Paul told us that was what he did. He was running for this. Running for what? More of the all-inclusive Christ, to know him. Amen. Then in Ephesians 3:8, you have the limitless dimensions of Christ may be full to apprehend with all the saints. Look at these dimensions. What the breadth and length and height and depth are. Christ, the dimensions of Christ, the height. Can you imagine? How high is Christ? Tell me, how high is Christ? Well, you know, in Hebrews, it says he's higher than the heavens, doesn't
it?
Okay, where are the heavens that he's talking about right now? Where is he right now that he's referring to as the heavens? Where is that?
Outer space.
Outer space. Well, if we want to say anything and make any educated guess, the safest thing to say, which would make the most sense, is he's in the center of the galaxies. But, you know, we really aren't told that. So we're not betting the ranch on that kind of statement. Okay? But he is ascended to the height. And he is higher than the right hand of God. He's higher than the heavens. This is incredible. I don't get it. Higher? How high? How much higher than the heavens? I mean, whatever that is, that's the height of Christ. So we will never exhaust how high we can go with Christ. How high? How lofty? How heavenly is Christ? Unlimited. Absolutely unlimited. It's a dimension that doesn't have numbers to it. Okay? And then the depth. It's amazing that, you know, it's not okay just to know Christ as the high things. We have to know Christ as the deep things. You know, in 1 Corinthians, he's called the depths of God. The depths. How deep is that? You know, one of these words for unsearchable is untraceable. And another one is what? You know what it is? For depth. Unfathomable. Right. You know, fathoms is depths. This is an accurate translation. Yeah, depths. Sometimes human life can put you not up but down. You need to know the depths of Christ. Amen. The breadth, the length. What are all these words? What are four dimensions? Do you live in four dimensions? Well, because of Christ, we now live in the fourth dimension. Okay. Or we live in four dimensions, is more like it. So we can tell our friends, you know, have you gotten into the fourth dimension yet? They say, well, where did you learn this? Oh, well, this will really get them their tongues wagging, you know. The fourth dimension, what is this? Oh, well. Well, it's right here. We have all the dimensions of Christ. Okay. I think you can just take one of them and exhaust your whole life and eternity on just one direction, but you get all four. That means, I don't know what it means. How long is eternity? What's that? How do you describe that? You don't. Eternity doesn't have, you can't say it's so long, such and such a time. It's not time. So Christ matches eternity. He's that unlimited. Okay. Then we have Christ, the wisdom of God. This is what we did last year. We took what's one verse of Him, are you in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God. What is wisdom? Wisdom is, number one, righteousness. Number two, sanctification. And number three, redemption. Righteousness, so that we can be born of Him. Sanctification, so that we can be transformed by Him in our sanctified soul. And redemption, so that our body can be glorified to match His body of glory at His coming or at our going. Okay, you see, this is the way it goes. I only did point number one tonight. I know some of you think, it's going to be so long getting through this. But you see, I'm stopping at exactly the right time. Just relax when I share. I don't know how to do the outlines properly, but I do know how to read the time. Okay. And I know there's a limit. I know I have to, I have to cut it off. And so it's okay. I don't care for this. We'll pick it up. We'll just pick it up next week. Or if I want to, I'll just scratch it and put something else in there. I don't care. I just want you to get it. There's so much. But we have to cover regeneration because that's too wonderful. And we have to cover baptism because that's a beginning experience of Christ. Okay? Okay, now the rest of the time is for you to share something, okay? Share something.